Hear now these words that come to us from the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 36 and concluding with verse 43. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. Which would you rather be known as? Aren't you glad we're calling her Tabitha? I understand that in this church's past, there was a Dorcas circle that was part of the United Methodist Women. And in one of my churches I served, there was a Dorcas band. And for the longest time, I thought, did they play musical instruments at what time? Or what was the deal here? And then you realize where those names Dorcas came from in church groups. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. So that's what those groups were all about, good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put them all outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. And he turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." And then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up, and then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. And this became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us today, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words from the book of Acts. We pray that we might receive them and take them to our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. And as we ponder the good news that is here this day, O God, give us a sense of peace and rest and comfort from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come that have a tendency to distract us. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. So how about Peter? He's a different man in this morning's scripture. We've heard about him over the last few weeks, especially beginning on Maundy, Thursday of Holy Week, when we know that he said to Jesus, "Look, Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere, even to death." And then three times, Thursday evening, he denies that he knows Jesus. Last Sunday, Peter wasn't sure what to do anymore. And so he reverts back to that which is familiar. "I'm going fishing." "Well, we'll go with you." "Oh, can't even get away by myself." They're out on that lake all night. Jesus on the shore. Woo-hoo! Did you boys catch anything? Nope. Yesterday was the first day of trout season. How many went? Lou, you're it. Holy smokes. This is a gorgeous afternoon today. If you've ever had a hankering to go fishing, go do it. I'll bet they're biting today. And if you don't catch anything, just throw it 6 feet from that spot. Well, they caught so many fish, and the disciple that loved Jesus elbowed Peter and said, "Hey, Peter, I think that's the Lord on the shore." And Peter puts on some more clothing or puts on clothing, jumps into the water, and away he goes. And then they have a meal, breakfast around that campfire, bread and some fresh fish. And then the dialogue starts, and Jesus said, "Hey, Simon Peter, do you love me?" "Well, yes, Lord." "Then feed my lambs." "Hey, Simon Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." "Then tend my sheep." "Hey, Simon Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." "Then feed my sheep." And in this morning's scripture, something has happened to Peter between then and now. In this story of Acts, it's a story of Peter restoring the life of a Christian woman renowned for her generosity. And the story has power on many levels. This Tabitha, this Dorcas, is all too familiar. She's a Christian disciple who has been devoted to the service of others and whose death is now going to leave an enormous gap in the ministry and that community. And when such individuals die, there is a lot of grief. There are a lot of tears. For there's always that chance that work that they are involved in is no longer going to continue. Their death makes a difference because their life has made such a difference to individuals. And in Tabitha, we are expected to see a concrete example because she is named someone who bears witness to the power of this resurrection, this Easter faith that she has experienced and is a part of in her life of Jesus Christ. But the power of this Easter faith is not only seen through Tabitha. It's also seen now through Peter as well. Through his ministry of word and deed, through his rising and the raising of Tabitha, we are also shown these continuing efforts of the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Powerful witness is occurring in the healing ministry of the church. And Peter didn't preach an incredible sermon to a group of people. He just goes into a room, asks everyone to leave, has a moment of prayer, and says, "Tabitha, get up. And an incredible, dramatic witness results to the town. Now, Jesus promised that his disciples would be gifted by the Holy Spirit and that they would do greater things than he did. And according to the stories that we read in Acts, they do. And look at what Peter was like in the Gospels. Walking on water, engaging his mouth before his brain, and then realizing in the middle of that water as he's sinking and filled with fear, and Jesus reaches out. I'll follow you to death, Jesus. And then he turns around and denies even knowing him 3 times. Jumping into the water last Sunday, not sure why, but realizing that he wants to be close to this Jesus. And then having his feelings hurt because Jesus asks him a third time, Simon Peter, do you love me? Look at Peter today. Look at him now. He's a different person. Whenever the risen Christ is present, there is new power to overcome barriers. There is new power to overcome the inconsistencies in life. There is power to overcome, period. In the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, it's a commentary that sits on my shelf that takes up about this much space. And then there's a set of 4 or 5 dictionaries that take up about this much space. The Interpreter's Bible on this passage says, whenever the risen Christ is present, there is new power to overcome the handicaps of human existence. Miracles do happen. They happened then and they happen now. A Christian fellowship, that's us, a group of Christian believers in which there are no signs of new life, no indications that people are rising above the dead level of their old selves, no indication that they are conquering the fears and anxieties that threaten the smooth operation of their human bodies. In that fellowship, there is then something seriously wrong. You see, my friends, in this morning's scripture, we realize that the power and the presence of the resurrected Jesus Christ has power to overcome. For whatever barriers are placed around us, for whatever barriers our upbringing has placed around us, for whatever barriers you have placed around your own life, for those things that keep us from growing in the presence and the ministry of Jesus Christ, from sharing the love of Christ with our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, our co-workers, strangers, may the power and presence of Jesus Christ knock them down. And may wonders occur in our lives. I'll bet every one of us missed the last line in this morning's scripture in the book of Acts. I'll bet you missed it. There's an incredible barrier falling down, and it goes whoosh. Meanwhile, Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. In the Jewish faith, Peter would have still been obedient to the law. If a Jewish person in today's world keeps a kosher home, follows the dietary laws, their kitchens must be at least double the size of what you have at home. You would never in a Jewish kosher home eat a cheeseburger. Never. Because dairy products are never eaten with meat products. You can't even have them on the same plate. That means you have a whole set of dishes for dairy products and a whole separate set of dishes for meat products, whole separate set of pots and pans and linens. I've even been told that there might even be a separate dishwasher for dairy products and meat products, let alone the cabinets to store them in and the silverware to eat them with and the glasses to drink with. Rules and laws were important. Simon is a tanner. Tanners take the hide off dead animals and tan them to make leather. Jewish people did not associate with tanners because of the dead animals. Peter, a devout Jew, is staying in the home of a tanner. Major walls and barriers are coming down in the life of Peter because he realizes that mission and ministry for Jesus Christ is far more important than any of those barriers that have ever been placed around him and around society. I hope and pray that as the power and presence of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, touched Peter and barriers came crashing down and ministry occurred, that our barriers will come crumbling down as well, so that we might be involved and engaged in the mission and ministry that the resurrected Easter Christ calls us to be engaged and involved in. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, what wonderfully good news is in the book of Acts for us today. Oh God, may we claim it, may we live it. May we be all about good news, mission and ministry to the world. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.